The word of God given to us today is Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. Please turn to page 111 of the New Testament. It's Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 4. Allow me to read the words of God. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. Amen." The more you think about it, praying isn't easy at all. It's not so hard to make a conversation for an hour or two with our colleagues, schoolmates, relatives, neighbors, church district members, or volunteer members. Especially if that colleague or schoolmate is a very close friend who understand each other. If that relative or neighbor is someone you keep close connection with, or if that district member or volunteer member who live a life of faith together at the same church seems to be deeply in love with the Christ, then even 3 to 4 hours of conversation may seem short. But if you have to talk 3 to 4 hours with someone in a high position, such as a president or a prime minister, then that becomes a very difficult thing. If a married couple or two to three people are to have a dinner with the president couple, then almost all focuses in life will be directed towards that very hour of the very day they have decided to meet. The reason why praying is more difficult is because this is not a conversation between a person and another, but it is a conversation between God and a person, a rendezvous between the Creator and His creation. If I asked our members, "Would you please pray 3 to 4 hours to God for our church? Or would you do volunteer works for the church for 3 to 4 hours? Then most members will choose to volunteer. Praying isn't easy. But the fact that we can give prayer proves that we are not alone and that God is with us. And this is why prayer is so important to us Christians. Today's passage is referred to as the Lord's Prayer. To interpret this meaning, it means the only prayer the Lord has taught. So, in fact, it can be referred to as a disciple's prayer in the perspective of those who pray. The actual content of the Lord's Prayer is recorded in John chapter 17. Many churches use the Lord's Prayer when closing a worship service or a gathering, because there isn't any better or a more perfect prayer to close a worship service or a gathering. No matter how much rhetorical expressions we use in our prayers, they will never be better than the Lord's Prayer. This is the reason why the Lord's Prayer is used to close up a worship service or a gathering. But its meaning has diminished and is now almost used as a pastime. It means that the boring worship or gathering is over after the Lord's Prayer. In Korea, the Lord's Prayer is called Chu Gidomun. Chu meaning the Lord, and Gido meaning prayer, and Mun meaning writing or document. and it seems that the kido between the four-letter word has vanished, and the first and the last letter is left to make the word chumun, which also can mean spell. Prayer and spell are similar in form in that they both need to be said. However, the contents are totally opposite in character, the concept. The most important thing when saying a prayer is a relationship between the person saying a prayer and the one receiving the prayer. It is as if the reason why parents listen and give out a hand when their child asks for something or asks for help is because it was their child asking, not because of what the child said. Furthermore, parents feel bad when their child does not ask for any help, even though it seems like their child is in need for a hand. This is what prayer is like between us and God. But a spell is different. A spell aims for a result, regardless of who is saying it. The most representative example of a spell is the open sesame that comes out in the story Ali Baba and the 40 Thieves from 1001 Nights. It doesn't matter who says it. It doesn't matter if Ali Baba says it, or if the thief leader says it, or one of the thieves says it. According to the story, the door to the cave will even open if I say open sesame. You mustn't misunderstand that prayer is something like that as well. Saying things like, rumor has it that you can receive answers to your prayers better if you pray in early morning or at night, or rumor has it that God will answer to your prayers if you pray every day for over two hours while fasting, which will turn a prayer into a spell. Praying in early morning or late at night, or praying while fasting, means that is how much praying in early morning or late at night means how desperate your situation is. So when someone says they could not sleep or couldn't even think of eating, it means that they said their early morning prayer, all-night prayer, or fast prayer. If God has to answer to a prayer just because someone prayed in that particular hour or that particular way, then that isn't a prayer at all. But a spell. Also, this is to make ourselves the master and God a servant. When a child is in need for money and the parents do not give that money, no matter how much the child explains the reason, telling the child that they will give them money if the child comes to early in the morning or late at night for a week, or if the child fasts for 3 days, they should make the parents come out on TV shows such as Capture the Moment, How Is That Possible?, or Hello Counselor, or take them to the hospital for treatment. God isn't a mechanical being. This is why we need to learn how to pray properly. Verse 1 of today's passage tells us as follows. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. Jesus, the Holy Son and God, receives prayers because he is a creator. And yet, Jesus came down to earth as human and showed to set an example of praying all throughout his public ministry. The book of Luke shows seven records of Jesus praying. The first is praying after being baptized by John the Baptist when he started his public ministry. The heaven opened. The Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven. The second was when the rumor of Jesus fixing the sick people gradually grew, and more people started to swarm in. And Jesus evaded to a quiet place and prayed. Becoming popular and healing the sick was not the purpose of his coming down to earth. The third was just before selecting the 12 disciples that will continue the ministry after learning from Jesus. He prayed all night long. The fourth prayer was when Jesus asked the disciple who they thought he was. The fifth was when Jesus took Peter and James up to a mountain and talked of Moses, Elijah, and his own death. The sixth is today's passage, and the last seventh was at the Gethsemane before his death on the cross. Jesus set an example with prayer in every important moment of life. His disciples knew how to pray. Jesus' disciples were all Jewish and have been following after Jesus for a very long time. To put it in today's term, they weren't some new believers at a church, but those who have been attending church for the longest time. Jesus taught his disciples with various teachings. So all that disciples had to do was to accept Jesus' teachings. But in today's passage, they ask him to teach them how to pray. The disciples asked one thing for Jesus to teach, and this was that only request, the prayer. The Jews recited the 5 books of Moses ever since they were young, and they also had a prayer form that they used when they prayed. Furthermore, there were Pharisees when Jesus was on his ministry. They were criticized by Jesus for their ostensible behavior, but they were people who gathered so that they will be prepared to receive the Messiah when he comes down to earth. There were about 6,000 of them in entire Israel and were respected by people. They also had a prayer form that they used to live a more devout life. There were also Essenes at the time of Jesus, and they were those who waited for the Messiah through community life and abstinence in the wilderness. John the Baptist was a member of Essene. They also had their own prayer form. In the eyes of the disciples, Jesus lived a very exuberant life according to God's words, and yet lived a different life from that of a Pharisee. He lived a thoroughly self-denying life, and yet lived a different life from that of an Essene. The content of his prayer was also different from their prayers. That is why one of his disciples asked Jesus, whom just came back after his prayer, to teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples. Last month, in August, a monthly Christian magazine called Ministry and Theology published an article about our worship service in this church. A professor at a theological seminary, visited our church, and wrote a 10-page article about the worship service, which is not short. The professor came to our church worship several times and defined our service as a holy halt time, bowing down before the calling. It's not easy to write something so well, even if you're a professor of a theological seminary. But this article was very well written, so I shared this article with all of our pastors. The article writes about the prayer that we give during the service as follows. It is very apparent that the prayers of the members aren't just a long list of words, but that they have prepared the prayer with so much care. Their prayers show the members' individuality, and they all include their deep thoughts over the purpose of the church and the sermon from last week. It is also surprising that various subjects such as repentance, forgiveness, glory, and appreciation, love, justice, equality, church, and society are expressed in clear yet faithful language reasonably. They are mature prayers that cannot ever be written down in a 10 to 20 minute scribble. At our church, the church members lead the prayer time at the Sunday worship service and the Wednesday Bible study in alphabetical order. When the time comes for you to pray and the church contacts you, please do not be afraid or turn away, and I hope that you will accept and be able to pray before us. The prayer that we give while preparing for the prayer makes our inner person stronger, makes our spirits brighter, and clears up our troubled minds. In other words, you will learn to pray while preparing for the prayer. The most proper and fastest way to learn how to pray is to pray. Not reading about books on prayer, not listening to words about prayer, but praying yourself. The first thing Jesus said to his disciples who asked him to teach how to pray is as follows, Father. This means that there is someone who is listening to our prayers. The more important thing than our desperation in our prayers is that there is someone who is listening to our prayers. This is what is more important. Let's say that a child asks his or her father, Daddy, please buy me shoes for my birthday, and the father promised to do so. What is more important than a child asking desperately and repetitively for new shoes is what kind of a person the father is. If the father is irresponsible and is ignorant towards his child, or is so forgetful that he forgot about the promise, then that promise will not be kept, no matter how much the child begged him to keep it. Also, even if the father was a sincere father and did not forget about the promise, but if he does not have the ability to buy the shoes, then the promise cannot be kept either. If the father is sincere and is capable, the child will have new shoes in his or her hand, even without having to ask for it so desperately over and over again. No, the father probably would have bought the shoes for the child when needed, even if the child didn't ask for it. What we should not forget in our prayers is that God does not only possess paternal elements just because we call him Father. God also possesses maternal elements as well as paternal elements as we have learned in the New Believers class and the Mature Believers class. We use the term brothers when indicating sons. At times, we use the term brothers when indicating both sons and daughters together. Likewise, calling God the Father also indicates calling both parents. In Psalms chapter 121, verses 3 to 4, says, "He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep." When a young child wakes up from sleep and starts crying, it is mostly the mother who soothes and puts the child back to bed, not the father. Fathers make an excuse saying they need to go to work the next day. Mothers do not mind having to wake up every now and then, even if they have to go to work the next day. But fathers stay fast asleep. That was how I was in the past. Just as mothers take care of the children, even if they are deprived of sleep, God takes care of us just like that. Jesus also said as follows in Matthew chapter 23, verse 37. "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you are not willing." If a child causes a trouble bad enough to be criticized by the world, the mother still protects her child. This is because she bore the child in her own womb. At times, when a child does something the parents do not like, fathers often say, "Get out of my house. You're not my son or daughter anymore." But mothers rarely say such things. Of course, the fathers say that because they are upset. But mothers take in. Jesus told us that he has taken in Jerusalem that was doomed to fall. As such, God possesses both fatherhood and motherhood. The first thing Jesus said when teaching his disciples how to pray was "Father." In whatever circumstance we're in, it is a great blessing that we have someone we can pray to. The fact that the one who has created all creation is our Father, all the more gives us hope and courage every time. It is especially so in today's world where family relationships are fallen so badly. It is said that the relationship between the parents and the offspring are ever unbreakable, so it is called tunyun in Korean, meaning morals given from heaven. Morals given from heaven have failed in today's world. There are two incidents of breaking the morals from heaven that I have read in the newspaper that I can never forget. One was an incident from 1994 in which the son evasively went to the United States to study because he wasn't doing so well in Korea. But he made huge gambling debts, came back to Korea, killed his parents, and set the house on fire. That was the same year in which the so-called Jijon family incident occurred. Six men formed a gang and committed five serial murders and shocked the entire nation. The son who killed his own parents was as shocking as the Jijon family incident. Another one occurred in a cold winter of December in 2003. A father in his 20s who was diagnosed with stage 3 mental disorder because he usually acts normal, but when agitated, he becomes uncontrollable. And he fed sleeping pills to his 6 and 5-year-old son and daughter, put them to sleep, and threw them, one by one, into Han River. Both incidents threw me into deep despair towards humanity, making me question how could humans act like this. So many incidents that break the morals from heaven have occurred since then. Last week on September 16th, there was an article about a cold-hearted father who left his 6-year-old daughter with a bit of disability in a room full of garbage without feeding her anything. The daughter was left inside the room from 8:30 a.m. to 9 p.m. for almost 12 hours without any food. In February, there was an article about a father who beat an 8-month-old boy to death because he would not stop crying. The reason was because he was trying to drink at home after coming back from an internet cafe, but the boy kept crying and that disturbed the man. What's more, the mother was sitting right next to him. There was also an article about a heartless mother who deserted her 2-year-old son at a bus terminal last year, April, because he was an obstacle to her getting remarried. She also ran away after making a report as if she found a lost boy. There was another article in that same month about the judgment on a mother who killed her 2-year-old daughter from malnutrition by habitually starving her to go on a trip with her boyfriend. In Isaiah chapter 49:15 says, "Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you." How could a mother forget about her baby? But there are parents who really do forget. The father forgot about his daughter, leaving his disabled daughter in a room full of garbage. The father forgot about his son when beating the boy for disturbing him while drinking, even though the boy was right in front of him. The mother forgot about her son when she deserted him at the bus terminal for being an obstacle for her to her marriage. Also, the mother who ignored her daughter's malnutrition forgot about the daughter to meet with her boyfriend. They all forgot about their children. No, they tried to forget about their children. How long will those children need to suffer before overcoming the fact that their parents did such things to them after hearing about it? This is the limitation of the love of the parents that are said to resemble that of God the most. But God, who is our Father, never forgets about us. Passion of Christ, which depicts the last 12 hours of Jesus' life, which is now an old movie, was in theaters in 2004. It was also re-released last year. I also watched this movie in Geneva, Switzerland. Unlike other movies on Jesus, Passion of Christ showed the ordeals that Jesus went through very realistically, shocking every Christian who watched it. And to me, 3 scenes were very impressive in that movie. Going backwards, the first was when Jesus passed away. When Jesus passed away on the cross, the people put him down from the cross. Right then, Mary, Jesus' mother, held Jesus' body in her arms and stared straight at the crowd with deepened eyes. It was as if she was screaming, "Who did this to my son? Who killed my son?" The second was when Jesus was going up the Gethsemane, bearing the cross, reminiscing of the past. When Jesus was tied up like a pile of meat at Pontius Pilate's court, beaten with a whip, and when he was going up the hills of Gethsemane with the cross on his back, his memories of his younger days and his public ministry days overlap. Among them is a scene in which he gives a sermon. During the sermon, he says, "I am the good shepherd." When I watched the movie, the French subtitles read, "Je suis le bon pasteur," instead of "Je suis le bon berger," which means "I am a good pastor," instead of "I am a good shepherd." I am a good pastor. I am a good pastor. The phrase echoed inside me for quite some time. It sounded like, I was a good pastor, so I want you to be a good pastor as well. It sounded like he was speaking to me. The third is the first scene. This was the most impressive scene to me. The disciples were sleeping carelessly under the dusky moonlight, despite the words of their teacher asking to pray for him. Jesus' hands were shaking, and he was praying with his face full of pain. And the Satan seduces him that no one can ever bear the burden of the cost of saving souls because it is too big. Just then, Jesus starts praying, "Abba, Abba." I felt a shiver run through my body. This is the Father that comes out in today's passage. That Father is the very Father God whom we believe in. God the Father who listens to our prayers. If God becomes our Father, what else would you possibly need? Do not parents prepare for things that their children will need beforehand when their young children do not know, not even know what they need? That is because the parents know and understand what their children need through their love and attention, and because that is the proper attitude of the parents. Not because the children were worried that their parents might not know what they need, or because they said so to their parents. This year's church motto is, "I will assuredly plant them in this land with all my heart and soul." How has the past 9 months have been like? Did we not make it to here today because God became our Father, not because we asked for something to God? I pray that you all become the children of God more and more as days go by deeply connecting and walking along with God, who is our Father, during the Chuseok week and for the rest of the year, as well as until the moment of your last breath on this earth. Let us pray. Our Father God, there are again many members of the church who will be visiting home during the Chuseok holidays. Let the family members break away from the foolishness of comparing each other with their possessions, positions, or abilities, and let their love, trust, and relationship towards each other become more abundant than ever. Let the joy from above overflow within the worship and relationship we have with our families, and please remember your children who yearn for the help of the Lord every holiday because their families do not yet know of the Lord's salvation, thus experience the burden and trembling, for they are not on the path of faith. And one day let all their families call God the Father and serve Him. Thus make Chuseok not only a national holiday, but also become a holiday of faith.